As the Lord shall be pleased to help me, I shall call your attention to a subject you will find in Psalm 115, verses 12 and 13. The Lord hath been mindful of us. He will bless us. He will bless the house of Israel. He will bless the house of Aaron. He will bless them that fear the Lord, both small and great. Psalm 115 and the 12th and 13th verses. This is a confession of faith that welled up in godly David's mind long ago. And out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth was speaking. And I would like to feel that you and I can find in our hearts an amen to this confession of faith. The Lord hath been mindful of us. And you let your consciences tell you the truth about it. And you will find that if you are favored to remember the way that you have come along in life's journey, goodness and mercy has been strewn along it. You have found every day as it dawns, thy mercies are new. Every morning, great is thy faithfulness. You have found at evening time, thy loving kindness is before my eyes. It is a wonderful mercy if you and I can walk in agreement with godly David in this confession of faith. Look at it from this viewpoint. Look round the world as it is, with the mighty mass of mankind upon it, hundreds of millions of poor sinners. Alas, what a minority there is in that mighty mass of mankind that has a realization of what it is to be a poor sinner before God. Yet each one of those mighty millions is a poor sinner with a never-dying soul, hastening to an eternal destiny, either heaven or hell. And now, if you weigh up before God, ask him to help you to do it, what you are and where you are at this evening hour. What you are. You are a poor sinner of a truth. You have been made aware of it by divine teaching. And you can say, one thing I know, whereas I was blind, now I can see. And you can look back and remember how God in his infinite mercy has singled you out from the mighty mass of mankind and made you to differ from the world at large, so that you are here with an aching void which this world cannot fill, and you have come, if so be, you may be after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit, and get in touch with Jesus Christ as the sinner's friend, and get some good for your soul. And now, if that is how you feel, and I believe that is how you do feel, then you can join with the psalmist. The Lord hath been mindful of us. And now, if the Lord hath been mindful of us, it is in accordance with his divine sovereignty. I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious. I will have mercy upon whom I will have mercy. And now I want, as the Lord to help me, to look at this subject from three viewpoints of it, as it opens up, as grace is given to unfold it, that is. One is to do with the past. The Lord hath been mindful of us. The second viewpoint is to do with the present. If you sat down and began, you can try and begin. If you sat down and began to count your blessings, you would find that the Lord is still mindful of you, where you are and what you are, and that you are surrounded with evidences beyond words to describe of his mindfulness of you and yours. And then there is a third viewpoint. Jesus Christ is declared to be Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever. Therefore, as you review the past, as you look around the present, you can look forward and view the prospect. And you can join with the Apostle Paul. He hath delivered, he doth deliver, and we trust he will yet deliver us. This is a good line of things to contemplate, dear friends, and for you to take down your hearts from the willow branches and low to the praise of Christ our God, bid every string away. The Lord hath been mindful of us. And now, look at this truth in approaching the subject from the viewpoint of your everyday life. I've no time to work it out in detail. It would need many sermons to do that. But when you arise in the morning, with what measure of health and strength God has given you, you can still say with Jeremiah, thy mercies are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Yes. And all the day long, especially at meal times, when you sit down to a well-spread table, you can look at it, and you should look at it from that viewpoint, and declare, the Lord hath been mindful of us. He answers that petition, give us this day our daily bread. And at every meal time, your meal table is spread, and you are favored to gather around it. And you should look beyond the gifts on the table to him who is the ever faithful God, the giver, and remember that every good gift and every perfect gift cometh down from above, from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of a turning. And now, ere I leave that viewpoint, did you ever sit down to the meal table and there was nothing on it? The word of God says bread shall be given, water shall be sure, and you have found it. You know beyond all questioning, the Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knoweth them that trust in him. The eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him, and them that hope in his mercy, to keep them alive in a time of famine and to deliver their soul from death. You may not be in a very lively frame as you are here in the attitude of worship, but you are not dead. You are not here without God and without hope. You are alive if you are not lively in your soul's exercises. And in that viewpoint, you can declare, the Lord hath been mindful of us. There is a word I like to look at, and it will bear looking at quite frequently, where godly David says in Psalm 30, what I hope you can say, O Lord, thou hast brought up my soul from the grave, thou hast kept me alive, that I should not go down to the pit. I like how that is worded. You underline it in your Bible. Thou hast kept me alive. And that is what the Spirit of God will do, where he is at work in a poor sinner's breast. He which hath begun the good work in you will not fail to carry it on. And if you should not be lively, as I said, he will keep you alive, and he will return in mercy to you and make you lively again. And ye now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice. Yes, the Lord hath been mindful of us. Go all through the day in your duties, your difficulties, whatever they are to do with you or yours. You can enter into this blessed declaration. The Lord hath been, and he is, mindful of us. You have him to go to at any time and anywhere. And he has given you much encouragement to go to him as the sinner's friend, in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your request be made known unto God. How beautifully simple that is. And how kind of the Lord to make it so simple as it is. Let your request be made known unto God. You may not find many words to tell out eloquently before God what your requests are. And you can appeal to him and say, O Lord, thou knowest. O Lord, I am oppressed. Undertake for me. Yes. And think again, when you come to the end of the day, do you know? I expect you do know, but I will remind you if you have forgotten it. There are 2/3 of the people who dwell on the earth, hundreds of millions, who go to bed hungry. Do you? You do not go to bed hungry. And what is more, there are hundreds of millions who have no bed to go to. They are homeless, and they are displaced persons, and their days are spent in misery and woe, and all that they get that is good to receive is what those who have minds to give to them. Remember that. It is the awful aftermath of the war that raged so long, when hell itself was let loose on the earth and things have never been sorted out and put right before God and man. But this is what I want you to think. You sink into your comfortable bed, your soft pillows, and you have left a warm fireside. You have your home around you. You are sheltered from whatever the weather is without, if it should be inclement and winter time. And now In all these things you should be saying, the Lord hath been mindful of us. He has sheltered us. He has provided for us. He has guaranteed that his eye shall be upon us to do us good in time and eternity too. Yes. And when you see our land that we live in, like it is, our nation, what it is, before God, in such wickedness and such great guiltiness, and yet you have lived through the changing seasons, you have seen another harvest time come and go, and what is more, it has been a wonderfully good harvest, and yet the nation is like it is, and turns its back on God and godliness. And now, how is it that God is so good when men are so bad in their behavior toward him in the land that you and I live in? It is because he has got in this land salt to preserve it. He has got these people referred to in our subject, them that fear the Lord. And he has got them, not even as it was in the land of promise, 7,000 who have not yet bowed the knee to Baal. God designated that number in the land of promise, which is only a little land as regards geographical boundaries. It is about as big as our largest county of Yorkshire. But how many should you think God has got in this land? Them that have not yet bowed the knee to Baal, as it was in Elijah's day. Elijah sadly misjudged in his outlook and thought, I only am left, O Lord, of them that fear thee. No, I have 7,000 who have not yet bowed the knee to Baal, and by my grace they will never do it. Well, in this land there is no doubt whatever God has got not 7,000 or 70,000 or 700,000, but many, many more. Many, many more than you and I can realize with our denominational outlook, because we are so small. But there are these people, them that fear the Lord, to be found scattered about from Land's End to John o' Groat's, and therefore the Lord will ever be mindful of them. Yes, the Lord hath been mindful of us. What a remarkable word mindful is. I make just a comment on it. Mindful. It means the Lord has got his mind full of what he purposes concerning these people. Them that fear the Lord, both small and great. His mind is full of what he designs to do down through the ages in gathering them together as a church. He designs to bless them for time and eternity too, and he never overlooks one. Not one of them that fear the Lord, small or great, is ever missed. No. The word of God is, I will set mine eyes upon them to do them good. And the Lord delights to do it. And his eyes run to and fro throughout the whole earth to discern wherever these people are. And he knows who they are and where they are. And from the least to the greatest, and by that I mean not the least to the greatest sinner, but the youngest to the oldest. That is what it means here, small and great. God does not deal with small sinners. He deals with great sinners, conscious how great they are as sinners, but he gives no regard to small sinners. No. The meaning here is to do with age. And so it says, he will bless them that fear the Lord, both small and great. And his eye is upon each one and every one. And do try to think of this and ask God to help you to apprehend it just a little. You will never comprehend it, but you can apprehend just a little of it and appreciate what you do apprehend. And now it is like this, if I may venture to illustrate it. When you go by the husbandman's field of green grass, all you see is green grass. In that field, there are millions and millions of blades of grass, but God, as he looks on it, if need arise, could tell you each blade of grass as to its measurement. He regards it not just as a green field like you do in passing by, but it is he who causes the grass to grow. Yes, and he discerns every blade individually. And so he does with his people, wherever they are, be they few or many. Even if they dwell alone, his eye is upon those who do so. Yes, the Lord hath been mindful of us. He has us in his mind, and his mind to us as individuals is full, that what he purposes to do, he will not fail to do it, which is to save us with an everlasting salvation. Do remember that. And here I come to look at it from another viewpoint. The Lord. And now the Trinity is referred to. The Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit hath been mindful of us. And now there is a great word which you can prayerfully think about that will help you to understand how the Lord hath been mindful of us. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the world. And now, think of what a thought this was that was in God the Father's mind. And you know that a word is a spoken thought. And says the Apostle Paul, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. But long before Jesus Christ was born a babe, by birth mysterious, and was seen cradled in Bethlehem's manger, sheltered in a stable there, hundreds of years, at least 4,000 years, before God had said, in driving Adam and Eve out of Eden's garden, the seed of the woman shall bruise the serpent's head. And here you see, God the Father hath been mindful of us. And then there is another beautiful scripture also in the Ephesians epistle. And that will help you to understand what was in the Father's mind. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Yes, dear friends, the Father hath been mindful of us. And how did the dear Saviour describe it? God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Think, if you can, of what Jesus must have felt like when he made that declaration to Nicodemus. He was the only begotten Son. And he went back, speaking with great reverence, to his Father and that which was in his mind. Yes. God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself. The Father hath been mindful of us. And then you find too that it was the Father who ordained a number which no man can number to life eternal. And he gave them, before time was born or the world was built, into the hands of his dear Son. And he received them and guaranteed that in the fullness of time he would be seen among men as verily man, verily God, and work out their salvation. And he did it. Blessed be his name. Love's redeeming work is done. Fought the fight, the battle won. And in that beautiful Holy of Holies chapter in the Gospel of John, chapter 17, you find Jesus Christ as verily man is addressing his Father, and he declares concerning all these people of whom the Lord hath been mindful, thine they were, and thou gavest them me. Yes, the Lord, the Father, hath been mindful of us. And dear friends, I will tell you, and I hope you know it, if not, I hope you will know it, what is a very sweet experience. And that is to realize in your own soul's experience the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father, to address the Lord and declare, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. It is an experience to prize once you have known the mercy of having it wrought in your soul. The Lord, the Father, hath been mindful of us. And now, what shall we say? What can be said? What ought to be said about the dear Son of God? Jesus Christ, as the sinner's friend, hath been mindful of us. And now, you hear the word so often that you little realize how deep down and blessed is the truth underneath it. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And now when he came, it was not by chance. And in his life as he lived it, he did not live it haphazard. No. He came into the world to do, as I said, love's redeeming work. And all the while he was in the world doing that work he came to do, his mind was full of what he was doing. His mind overflowed with love to those on whose behalf he had come down into the world to seek and to save. So that as he was made of a woman, as verily man, made under the law, he lived his life under that law and kept it in every jot and tittle of it on behalf of these people of whom his mind was full, that he would indeed guarantee their soul's salvation. In him the Father never saw the least transgression of his law. In him we then perfection view, and the saints in him are perfect too. Yes, all the while Jesus Christ was going about, his mind was full of love's redeeming work. He never took any step but what it was to do that work. He spoke no idle word, he did no idle deed, and he took no unnecessary step, but he went on his way to do love's redeeming work. Hence he must needs go through Samaria, and on another occasion he must go to where he would meet a woman of Canaan, and she was coming to meet him, and his mind was full of what he would do for her, and he did it. And so it is with every poor sinner born again. From the time that sinner is born again, Jesus Christ is carrying on that good work in that poor sinner's breast. The Spirit of God, having begun it, will fulfill it however long that poor sinner may live. And as I said at the outset, such a sinner will never be forgotten. O Israel, thou shalt not be forgotten of me. And such a sinner will never be overlooked or passed by. The eye of the Lord will be upon such an one, wherever they may be, whoever they are. Oh, how much might be said about it. The Lord hath been mindful of us. Jesus Christ, as the sinner's friend, lived his life, and all the while mindful that he was living his life, that his dear people might live forevermore. And when he went up Calvary's hill and died in their stead, what did he say? It is finished. And his mind was full of love's redeeming work being done. And the evidence that it was done and well done was on that Easter morn, when the dear Saviour came forth and rose from the dead triumphant over sin and death and hell. And then he ascended up on high. Yes. And there he is at God the Father's right hand, mindful of all poor sinners, seeking his divine aid. And his word will not fail you. Him that cometh unto me, I will never, no, never, no, never cast out. The Lord hath been mindful of us. No sinner was ever yet empty sent back who came seeking mercy for Jesus' sake. But I must look at it again. The Holy Spirit hath been mindful of us. And now whenever you take the Holy Bible to read, and you do that, when you search the Scriptures, as you hold the Holy Bible in your hand, you can say, the Lord, the Holy Spirit, hath been mindful of us. Here are you and I, born in the land that we live in, and there is none who can make us feel afraid as we pick up the Holy Bible to read. We do not mind anyone coming along and seeing us read it. We have not got to hide it like our forefathers did, and read it surreptitiously when we think no enemy of the truth will observe us doing it. And remember, the Holy Spirit took over 1600 years to gather together the Holy Bible as you and I have it. And all that while, he was mindful of us, that there should be the Word of God in a gospel day, and that you and I should realize, thy word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. Yes, do remember the Holy Spirit is the author of the Word of God, Holy Bible, Book Divine. God spake all these words. But then, the Holy Spirit hath been mindful of us. And now, if you and I are sinners born again, oh, how evident it is the Lord hath been mindful of us. You can go back. Some of you, I would it was every one of you, to when you hope the Lord began to deal with you, and you felt as you never felt before, when the eyes of the blind were open, the ears of the deaf were unstopped, when you felt as you never felt before in the worship of God, and you listened to the gospel being preached, if so be there could be something that might encourage you to hope in God. And now, how many times the Lord has been pleased to do it. Oh, how many evidences you have when you weigh matters up before God and in his light see light, that he is indeed carrying on the good work which you humbly hope he did begin with most of you long ago. You can say, in that sense, the Lord hath been mindful of us. Like Job, when he said, thou hast granted me life and favour, and thy visitation hath preserved my spirit. Yes, the Holy Spirit hath been mindful of us. And oh, we do want him to help us still and lead us yet deeper down into the truth and help us to do what you sometimes sing. Hoard up the sacred word and feed thereon and grow. Go on to seek to know the Lord and practice what you know. The Lord, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit hath been mindful of us. And now, I must look at the subject from another viewpoint. The godly psalmist goes on, he will bless us. He will bless the house of Israel. He will bless the house of Aaron. And now I must not take up time, because I must soon come along to the Amen, in giving you a description of the house of Israel and the house of Aaron. But if you just understand it like this, you will know what the meaning is. The house of Israel means every poor sinner, small or great, young or old, who is taught to pray. You remember how it was that Jacob's name was changed to Israel. And from that time on, we find Israel throughout the Word of God in the sacred pages. And it does not mean just Israel as a nation. No. You remember that Jacob, when the angel wrestled with him, Jacob thought it was a man. So it was, capital M, to that man. But Jacob clung to that man and said, I will not let thee go except thou bless me. And that is just how you will feel when you enter into this scripture. He will bless us. You will be much in need of it. Lord, I cannot let thee go till a blessing thou bestow. And so the house of Israel represents the Israel of God. And that is what the Apostle Paul terms Israel to be. And it means all people of all ages who are taught to pray. Yes, a great mercy to be taught to pray. Not just to say a prayer. Oh, you can say words, but you do want reality. And out of the abundance of the heart, for the mouth to speak. And now, all who belong to the house of Israel, the Spirit of God gives them the spirit of prayer, the grace of supplication. And they're like the woman in the gospel. Glad they are indeed when they can fall down at Jesus' feet and tell him all the truth. And now the house of Aaron represents those whom God ordains to preach the gospel wherever he is pleased to send them forth to do so. Remember that. The house of Aaron. The Apostle Paul says, none seeketh this honor to himself except he that is called of God, as was Aaron. And you have many searchings of heart if you are a preacher. And you may be much esteemed and loved by those in the denomination as a preacher, but you still have many searchings of heart, and you need more and more to be confirmed as you journey on that you were called of God as was Aaron. But this is what you are to think about, dear friends. He will bless the house of Israel. And now whenever you come up to worship God, you can remind the Lord of what this word declares and what he is pleased to do. I will bless the house of Israel. Jesus will not your cry forget. You shall obtain the blessing yet. But do remember this. And now here I must remind you that you must look beyond the preacher, whoever he is. As long as he is a man ordained of God to preach, you must remind the Lord that he has said he will bless the house of Aaron. Yes. Blessed Spirit of Christ, descend on us thus. Thy servant assist, teach him to teach us. And now that is what your frame of mind should be whenever you come up to worship God. And if there should not be a preacher, as you dear people at Zion often have what we term reading services, it is a sermon read of one who is a preacher, ordained to preach, and God will bless that also. Yes. And it says here, he will bless the house of Israel. He will bless the house of Aaron. Preacher and people alike shall rejoice together and feel, Lord, it is good for us to be here. This is none other than the house of God. It is even the gate of heaven. Much might be said along that line of thought. And I want just to remind you that this word bless comes from the same root as a word as does the word blood. And now there is a deep signification in that fact. It is not just a question of grammar. No. Etymology. No. It is beautiful and blessed truth. I can have no access to God but through the merits of Christ's blood. And remember, dear friends, if you can look back over the dealings of God and remember, the Lord hath been mindful of us. He will bless us. And he has blessed you. You have the memory, the sweet remembrance of a blessing here and there and yonder. And now that could only come down to you. And you be blessed like that, as you had a living interest in what was done for you when Jesus Christ died on Calvary's cross in your stead. Do remember that. Through this man there is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. And that is the essence of the blessing wherewith he will bless the house of Israel. And I might just ask, as I come to the Amen, where will he bless us? Well, he has told us where he will be pleased to do it. In all places where I record my name, there will I come and bless thee. There are some places where you dare not ask God to do it, because he has made no promise, given no guarantee that he will be there to do it. You cannot ask him to do it at the pictures, or in the theatre, or on the sporting field, or in the houses of wickedness, and where the worldling is eased and pleased and is at home, following after the flesh, the things of the flesh. You dare not ask God to bless you there. But he has said, in all places where I record my name, there will I come and bless thee. And you know, dear friends, his name is recorded here in Zion. And you know, too, that he has blessed you here. Not once or twice or thrice. Maybe more times than you can tell. And that is because his name is recorded here. And not only here when you come in the attitude of worship, but in the private means of grace, when they that fear the Lord speak often one to another. Oh, he will bless them there. And he will bless you at the throne of grace. Yes. And he will bless you when you sit in quietness before God and seek to meditate on his dealings with you. He will help you to realize that he has blessed you, and you will say, thou hast dealt well with thy servant, O Lord. And then, why he will bless us. And now the question is answered in the question itself. He will. He delighteth in mercy. And says the dear psalmist, the Lord hath been mindful of us. He will bless us. There is nothing about it like maybe. If you do this, the Lord will do that. Nothing of the kind, whatever. No. He will bless us. He loves us. He will bless us. He will take us to heaven. Yes. He which hath begun the good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. He will bless the house of Israel. He will bless the house of Aaron. He will bless them that fear the Lord, both small and great. And dear friends, I just keep you a minute to make one more comment, and that is, I have been very glad as a pastor of that word small. In my long ministry, I have stood by quite a few little graves. I have stood by quite a few graves and seen dear babes, all that was mortal of them, laid therein, and seen them laid therein in sure and certain hope of a joyful resurrection to the life everlasting. And little ones, yes, and children, and teenagers, and others older still, and quite a large number in life's afternoon and evening time. But oh, how glad I have been. He will bless them that fear the Lord, both small and great. And you look up a word in the book of Revelation, where you will find at the great day, it says, a great company, a number which no man can number, shall be there. And it says, them that fear the Lord, both small and great. So that what the children sing about is a wonderful truth. Around the throne of God in heaven, thousands of children stand. Children whose sins are all forgiven. A holy, happy band singing glory, glory, glory. And how did they come there? This is the reason. The Lord hath been mindful of us. He will bless us. And he does bless those that are in life's morning, as well as those in life's afternoon and evening time. And I have thought many times in my ministry that the work of the Spirit of God amongst the dear young people is very much underestimated in our denominational life. Here is the word of God. He will bless them that fear the Lord, both small and great. And the dear Saviour said, suffer little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. The Lord help you to think on these things, dear friends, and may you more and more be helped to realize how the Lord hath been mindful of you. And then you will live inside that concluding word of Psalm 107. Whoso is wise and will observe these things, even they shall understand the loving kindness of the Lord. Amen.